PR, the People's Pod, giving you unfiltered and unqualified content every single week. I'm Cliff. He's Joe. Welcome back, everybody.
What's up, everyone? You know,
it's
that
not
was like
that loud. It's not.
No,
it's
no, no. It wasn't the volume. The speed. You were going a little fast, but I know why. Because we were already going in the pre-show. We're already amped up right now. I'm pumped right now. I'm like ready to go right now. I'm already pumped up. Cliff is eager to get into it, and that's why. That was a little fast.
We were going hard, and I was like, let's just record, dude. Let's just put it on.
We're already going. Okay, let's do it. I'm pumped.
Quick hit on the news. Lamar Odom beats Aaron Carter in a boxing match.
What? What the heck? I saw this on here. I'm like, I don't even know what.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It was just Lamar from like really long distance. Because he's 6'11". Aaron Carter is so small.
The reach. It's so unfair.
It doesn't make any sense. Novak beats Rafa. Oh man. Then overcomes an 0-2 finals deficit to claim his 19th Grand Slam. On the road to probably a golden slam this year, which I don't even know if this has ever been done. Joe, is he the GOAT?
Well, Rod Laver did it, right? Is he the GOAT? I don't know, man. I was watching it. That third set tiebreak. Oh, gosh. Rafa kind of flubbed a pretty easy volley. Yeah, one that he would normally get. I think he's going to be probably.
Yeah,
I mean, because he's going to outlast Rafa, and he just finds a way to get around Rafa somehow. So
he's got a winning record against the two other GOATs.
Yeah, I mean, Fed and Rafa. So I'm sure he'll eventually grab the Grand Slam record and probably be the GOAT.
It might be this year.
What a crazy era, dude.
What a crazy era.
Three GOATs all basically in the same era.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Crazy. After a slow start, the Dodgers are 2.5 games out of first. Pujols has been really good. He's been solid.
Surprising.
They've been doing a great job. But we got to talk about NBA playoffs round 2. And after Sunday, it was 2-2 across the board except one team. And we got to do it definitely maybe style. Joe, the Suns are for realsies. After losing Kelly Oubre, the Phoenix Suns were 14th in odds to win the NBA championship. Of course, they were undefeated in the bubble, acquired CP3, yada, yada, yada. But they beat the Lakers, as we know, and now they have swept the reigning MVP and the Denver Nuggets after Jokic has a frustration foul leading to his ejection. The Suns are headed back to the Western Conference Finals since 2009-2010 when they were led by Steve Nash and Amari Stoudemire.
Crazy.
The famous series where Kobe hits a perfectly contested 21-foot mid-range shot over Grant Hill, taps Alvin Gentry to imply, nice try. They took down the reigning champs. They took down the MVP. I mean, the Suns' future is bright. That's great. But I want to talk about something else. Something else that ESPN has talked about, and we'll talk about some things. All's fine and dandy. ESPN has affectionately called CP3 the best guard left in the playoffs. And says Devin Booker rode shotgun.
No!
In the Nuggets series. Joe, again,
upset,
Chris
guys.
Paul has finished second in all NBA voting. Second team all NBA. To his credit, he was insane against Denver. His stats were good.
He was.
26-5-10. 63% from the field, 75% from three, although only 8 three-point shots. Joe?
6-for-8, basically.
Definitely, maybe, is Chris Paul the best guard left in the 2021 NBA playoffs?
What is happening? What is happening, guys? What are people watching? Are people actually watching the games? Cliff, let's do a blind stat test, okay?
I'm so excited.
Let's do a blind stat test, okay? I'll give you three players, okay?
Yeah.
You tell me which of these players.
Yeah.
You tell me you rank them. Player A, player B, player C. Player okay. A.
Yeah.
33-4-5 on 46% shooting and 43% from three. Player B, 28-3-11, 43% from the field and 33% from three. So shooting a little lower.
But a lot of volume.
A lot of volume. I mean, 28 and 11 assists.
Yep.
Player C, 16-4-9, 51% from the field, 44% from three. So you rank those guys for me. Player A, player B, player C.
I will rank player A number one by far. 33 points per game, 4-5, 46% for the field, and 43% from three. I am a student of the NBA, and I'm going to guess that person is Donovan Mitchell.
Yes, you are correct. That is Spider Mitchell, who is averaging 33 points per game on 33 minutes per game through two rounds of the playoffs, through the entire playoffs. Because he was doing it in the second round. He's done it the entire playoffs. He's averaging about a point a minute, slightly under a point a minute for the entire playoffs, better than a point a minute for just the second round. Player B is...
I will rank player B as second if I need someone to carry my team. Because obviously as a second tier person, I think I'd pick 16-4-9 because it's better efficiency shooting. You want efficient people as your second best player. You want volume people for your first best player, even though like player C is 51%. But Donovan, 46% from the field is pretty good for your high volume shooter. I'm going to guess player B is Trae Young.
You are correct, my friend. Player B is Trae Young, 28 points, 11 assists, 3 rebounds, 43% from the field, 33% from 3. But, hey, he's launching bombs, and he is carrying this Hawks to well overachieving what people thought they'd do. I mean, taking two games off, they could win this series.
Look, they could win, and we'll talk about that.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. They have a puncher's chance.
They have a puncher. Definitely has to do with Embiid injury, but we'll get to that later. Okay, player C is the aforementioned Chris Paul, of course.
Of course.
Which you have ranked third on this list. 16-4-9, 51, 44 from three. Look, that's great. It's efficient. Yeah. You know, you got some numbers. You're telling me that 16-4-9 is the best guard left? And Cliff, I'm going to give you two other blind stats, okay?
Okay.
You might not know this one. Player D, 17-4-9. We just said Chris Paul is 16-4-9, right? This guy is 17-4-9, 47% from the field, 55% from three.
55% from three?
55% from three.
What?
Who's that, Cliff? Tell me this. Would you rather take that guy or would you rather take Chris Paul? I had to double check to make sure that was correct. And trust me, but it is correct.
Okay.
Cliff. It's going to shock you when I tell you who it
God.
Is, okay?
Oh my God.
It is so perfect that this person is, okay?
I don't think I would.
wait, Cliff. Would you take player D over player C? Would you take player D over Chris Paul? With these numbers, you wouldn't take 17-4-9, 55% from three over 16-4-9, 44% from three? Just go off the numbers, Cliff.
Okay. I mean, it's close to me. I'd rather have 51% from the field than 55% from three.
Okay.
But it's a toss-up, right?
Okay.
It's a toss-up.
Player D is...
It's
Mike Conley! It's Mike freaking Conley!
How is this possible? The Cuban boys.
Are you going to seriously? And you know what people don't realize? Look, Mike Conley has been playing, right?
Yeah.
Until the Clippers went home, the Jazz had not lost a game that Donovan Mitchell had played, Mike Conley or not. Right. Everyone's talking about like, oh, Mike Conley, he's so important. He's the most important person. Nope. Donovan Mitchell, clearly, obviously, the most important person in the series. Right.
Yes.
Bar none. No, he plays well, the Jazz win, or they find a way to slow him down and the Clippers win. That has been it. That's all that's happened in this series. Paul George, who cares? He's up and down. You know, who knows what he's going to do? Kawhi's going to play well every game. You know that's going to happen. Donovan, he has to, like, Utah depends on him. Mike Conley played game one. Donovan didn't play game one in the Memphis series. They lost that game. Mike Conley missed games in the Memphis series. He missed games in the Clippers series. Doesn't matter, okay? Mm-hmm. Completely irrelevant. Because they just replace him with Ingles. I mean, Ingles be popping those step back threes, all right? Like, it's just Mike Conley's exact move, okay? They just replace him. Is it exactly cumin? Is it the taste of cumin? No, okay, it's a little more salt and pepper. You get a little more Bogey, and you get a little more Ingles and a little more Clarkson. Yeah, it's a different mix. Doesn't taste exactly the same. Same result, okay? It's like, it's good, okay? But here's the thing. Whether or not, maybe you take Chris Paul over Mike Conley, isn't it crazy though that their numbers are like almost identical,
that it's a conversation? Yes,
that this is exactly what we're talking about. This, and here's the problem, Cliff. I'm gonna give you one last guy, okay? Player E.
Okay.
28-7-5, 49% from the field, 38% from three. Would you rather have that player or player C, Chris Paul?
I'd rather have that over player B, Trae Young.
Yes, right, you would rather have that. Yeah. And that player, the problem is, that player is Devin Booker, who's on the same team as Chris Paul. So how could you possibly, when none of these other guys even play together, say that this guy, who has the worst numbers of all five of these guys, I mean, how does that make sense? How does that make sense, Cliff? Donovan Mitchell's playing by himself right now. Trae Young's playing by himself. Chris Paul's playing with another guy who's better than him. And yet somehow Chris Paul is the best guard on this list. That's what you're telling me?
Crazy. Crazy. Crazy talk. But it's pervaded. It's not just ESPN pushing this narrative, right? Even Bob Leon, who you introduced me to, who's drawing...
Breaking my heart.
Cartoons, right? He drew Chris Paul as Batman and Devin Booker as what I hope is Nightwing and not Robin. Because if it is Nightwing, that means that Chris Paul is the Dark Knight Batman, which is the older Batman, which I can understand this kind of reference, right? He's like,
sure,
he's the old seasoned guy, but he's not as good as Nightwing, who is fresh, big, and young. But if it's just Batman and Robin, oh my God, that's so unacceptable. It's so unacceptable. It's insane.
Here's the other thing, okay? I know Chris Paul was crazy in the second round. He was great. It was a great matchup for him. They didn't know how to guard the pick and roll. Chris Paul was getting to his shot every single time.
It was automatic. That's why he shot 63%.
Yes. He shot ridiculous. I give him props. I'm not saying he's not great. I'm not saying he's not amazing. Yeah. I'm not even saying I'm not happy for him, because I'm super happy for him.
I want him to win.
Yes, I'm glad Chris Paul's getting his props. But you know, on this podcast, what we hate the most is just when people go crazy, when they go too far. That's the only problem we've ever had with LeBron, with Jason Tatum, now with Chris. It's just when the media goes too far. And if you go back, Chris Paul gets hurt in game one against the Lakers. Devin Booker carries them. That was probably the most important game in that series. You had to get that game. Anthony Davis, LeBron James, 100% healthy the entire game. Devin Booker, basically by himself, beat those two guys.
At home.
I mean, at
home.
He
needed, yeah. You can't lose at home game one.
They had to protect home court game one, set the tone, and Chris Paul goes down, so you know you got to get this game. Yeah. Right, and Book steps up, outplays. He's the best player on the court by far. Outplays AD, outplays LeBron. Probably outplays both of them combined, because they were just terrible in game one. Okay, they lose game two and game three. AD goes crazy, right?
Uh-huh.
Game four, Chris Paul. And by the way, Chris Paul still hobbled.
Yeah.
Game four, right? They have a good game, collective game. Everyone kind of plays well. Book played well. CP3 played okay. You know, other guys stepped up. They win that game, okay? Games five and six. Game five, was basically a blowout. And that was the one game where Devin Booker just played okay.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't need him. You know, Chris Paul played really well. That they didn't need him, though. And then game six, the closeout game, that's a serious game. That's an important game. You got to get that game. Devin Booker goes for 47 in that game. And even when they made the push and LeBron in the third quarter was like, okay, no, I'm just going to put him on my back. I'm actually going to start taking over. And Book was like, nah, no, this is not happening. We're going to shut the door. Mm-hmm. So the important games, right, game one, game six, when they really needed it, who was the one who stepped up? Booker, right? Now let's go back to Chris Paul in this, and now in the second round, okay? What was Chris Paul's best game of the second round, Cliff?
The last game.
It was the last game. It was game four of a sweep. I'm sorry, but that's not, it's like the least important game. You won, you're up 3-0. You're going to win the series. Who has ever lost a series up 3-0? Zero teams ever in the NBA have lost up 3-0. And that's the game where Chris Paul goes crazy and everyone's like, all of a sudden, Chris Paul, what? He's getting all the flowers because he had one good game in the fourth game of a sweep? Come on, guys. Even the eye test. So you got the stats aren't on your side that Chris Paul's the best guard left. The eye test isn't telling you that because whenever it's the important moments, Booker was the one who stepped up. People have already forgotten that Chris Paul's been hurt like half the playoffs.
It's incredible. Like, it's incredible. I don't know why. Look, for the tens that have listened to the podcast from the beginning, you know my relationship with Devin Booker. I've been trolling Joe for years. I'm like, this guy, whatever. He's whatever, right?
Empty stats,
guy. Empty stats. You just put him on any bad team. You put him on the Kings. He'll do the same thing. He'll do the same thing, okay?
He's
it's
like
all
Buddy
good.
Hill. He's basically Buddy Hield. Yeah.
It's just yeah. No, it's fine. He'll do it. It's like Bradley Beal, okay? They're the same. Like... they're the same player. But I have changed my mind. When I saw him in the bubble go 8-0, because they needed to win every single game to even have a chance at the play-in tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't make it. I was like, this guy is unlocked.
Yeah. 8-0, game winner on the Clippers.
Oh, over Kawhi and PG.
Over mostly PG, but both of them. That's a thing. It's like, that's what frustrates me. You know, it's this complete inconsistency. Because even with you, you were like, hey, I don't see the evidence of Booker
yep.
being, you know, being this kind of guy that I'm trying to claim he was like a couple yeah. years ago, yeah. which is fine. At that point, look, you're right. At that point, it's like the evidence is on your side. For me, I looked at his game and thought, no, I think this guy will become that. Like, I see it in his game already.
Yeah.
It hasn't shown up in the results, but it will,
yeah.
you know? But at that point, if you're against him and you're calling him an empty calorie, that's fine. You know, I'm like, yeah, you know, you could say that and that's fine. But now at this point, when he is proving it night in and night out, when he's averaging, like, this is like Kobe number. Like, he's averaging 28, 7, and 5, 49%, and 38%. Like, those are legit numbers. He's clearly carrying the team. Like, not carrying, that's saying too much. But he's clearly the best player on the team. But nobody's giving him his props.
I was saying, if he can produce his regular season numbers in the playoffs this year, that'll be a feat. And he's better.
Yeah.
He's even better than that. And
he's exceeding those, yeah.
That's something to marvel at. Truly. You got to look at this and be like, that's awesome. And I get it. I get it. You don't watch Suns games, okay? I understand. We're here for that for you. We're doing it for you. Just don't let the media taint your image of what you see. Just go watch. And if you watch Devin Booker, I'm telling you, you see spurts of Dame in him. You're like, okay, this guy is no fear. He is not scared, and he will go get it.
I mean, they're trying to, you know, make him the next Kobe. And I'll be honest, I see a little Kobe in him. He's got that kind of like
fire.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of that fire. Like, hey, dude, like, I'm going to just step up and drill this in your face. And he's got a little bit of Kobe's game, too. He has great footwork.
He's got Kobe 8 in him right now.
Yes.
He doesn't have 24 in him. He has Kobe 8. You know when Kobe 8 was fighting? He was like talking all this trash.
He wanted that, all the smoke with everybody.
He wanted all the smoke, right? That's Devin Booker. Dude, he was trying to fight Jokic. I'm like, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah. Hey, but that was like the right thing to do.
It was. You know, he was stepping up for campaign.
Yeah, he was kind of, you know, defend
this
guy.
I'm like, bro, get DeAndre Ayton to do that. this is above you, dude.
No, he was close to the play, so he has to get in there quick, and another guy has to get in there quick and, you know, step
yeah,
in. You know. Which I think Jay Crowder did. I think he did his job getting in there.
Yeah,
quick.
Jay Crowder's there. That's the guy. You're the Matt Barnes, all right?
Yeah, that's his role. Jay Crowder's been good, actually.
Yeah, he has.
Playoffs too.
You know, honestly, like, I've been – this is total side tangent, but I'm like, Jay Crowder has been winning, like, frequently. Like, you go back, he was on the Heat. They went to the finals, you know? He was on the Jazz before that. They played really well. They went to the playoffs. So it's
he was
just
on
like,
the Cavs.
He was on the Cavs. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, this guy is kind of like a winner, you know? Like, he's a good guy to have. He's a good piece, solid piece to have.
He is one of those good role players. Yeah, he's a good role player guy.
Going back to this Devin Booker shame, because I don't want to get off this. I don't want to get off this. Joe, let me read you the All-NBA teams, because they just came out today. First team, no surprise. You got Giannis, you got Steph, Luka, Nikola, Kawhi.
Okay.
Like, you could debate if Luka deserves to be there, but...
I'm totally fine with that.
But they were gonna those five deserve to be on the All NBA team, regardless of whatever position, right? No debate.
I'm looking at
here we go. The next row. You got Embiid.
Which I'm good with. Yeah.
It sucks. It sucks, right? Because Jokic took his spot. But he could have been first. You got Dame. It sucks. Mm-hmm. He could have been first. Luka took his spot, but and now here we go. Chris Paul. Second team, all NBA. It gets worse. Julius Randle, second team, all NBA. And it gets worse. LeBron James, who missed so many games, is second team, all NBA. Now, even more disgrace.
I'm very upset right now. I'm very upset right now.
Even more disgrace. We get down. So Bradley Beal, great season. Just didn't win. Jimmy Butler, great season. I have no problem with Jimmy Butler.
Sure.
Rudy Gobert, for whatever it's worth, he's probably the center that makes sense there. Paul George is on the third team All-NBA. And you got Kyrie, of course, under Chris Paul, who was basically the only net that played. Guys. No Donovan Mitchell.
How is no. Donovan Mitchell? Can you hear me shaking my chair? How's Donovan Mitchell not on the...
No Devin Booker. And honestly, no Jason Tatum. And no Trae Young.
Oh my gosh. What? What? Why? Guys, this is nuts. This is insane. You're telling me Paul George? You're telling me
Paul George
deserves to be on an all NBA team more than Donovan Mitchell or Devin Booker?
Fourth
or,
in the West.
Or, yeah, Jason Tatum? Jason Tatum has like 350 point games this season.
His stats are crazy. He was balling.
I mean, he had a slow start, and yes, the Celtics definitely disappointed.
Yeah.
But he played well, especially second half of the season.
He balled.
And he's clearly the best player on that team. And Paul George, what? Why? Why is he on here?
Why is he on here? I don't understand. How is this possible?
Look, CP3 can't be on the second team either. I'm fine with him on the third team.
Sure.
He shouldn't be above Donovan Mitchell. He shouldn't be over Booker. If Booker was at least on a team and CP3, I'd be a little less upset, but Mitchell, they're the 1 and 2 seeds. They're the best players on the 1 and 2 seeds. Utah had a better offense than they had a defense this season. Why is Julius Randle on this freaking list? What is he doing on there? This fool just shot 29% in the playoffs, okay? Like,
I know, yes, it's a regular season award, but New York media bias is so strong to get Julius Randle to the second team All-NBA.
You're freaking telling me that Julius Randle deserves to be above Kyrie?
The 10th best player in the league? At
worst. I mean, he shouldn't even be over PG. They should both not be on the list. And Randle should... Like, this is stupid.
It's crazy.
Jimmy Butler should be over Julius Randle.
It's crazy.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, what is it, Cliff? Because this is what frustrates me. There's, like, no consistency. Because we've talked about this, but even when people... Even when we have conversations with people, that, you know, dare I call some people fans, you know, but of the show, and they'll come up to us and start debating us about stuff, and but there's no consistency. Like, sometimes it's numbers, but then you're like, wait, but then this guy's numbers don't hold up. Sometimes it's eye test, but then you're like, well, this guy's eye test doesn't hold up. Sometimes it's team success. Sometimes it's – but then you look at a guy like – you look at Mitchell and Booker. They basically check all the boxes. They're the best player on their teams. They have great numbers.
Yep.
They have great records. They're winning.
Yep.
But you're telling me they can't get a single MVP vote and they can't get like a third place MVP vote? You can't get one vote and you can't make a single All-NBA team?
Not even a third place MVP vote. You can't even get a fifth place MVP vote and then you can't get a single All-NBA team.
What? Like, what the hell? Like, seriously?
It's crazy. Like, you and I, we had both Booker and Donovan Mitchell top five MVP candidate. Easy. Yes.
Easy.
Easy. They should have. Like, as much as Steph carried, as much I love Steph, we love Steph, as much as he carried, he was ninth. He was in the play-in tournament. He didn't even make the playoffs.
Yeah, honestly, the more I look at it, Dame should be on the first team. You should move either – I would move Luka or Steph down. I'd put Dame on the first team. I'd put one of those guys on the second team. CP3, I'm fine if he makes the third team, but
– I would put Devin Booker on the first team All-NBA. I would.
I'd probably put him second team. I'd definitely put him over Chris Paul. I mean, and I definitely put Donovan Mitchell, I don't know, first or second team. But to be honest, I'd have him over Luka.
Donovan is only hard because he missed the last 5 weeks.
He did miss.
That's why I have Booker over Mitchell. But if Mitchell played, he'd be the first.
But he only missed, honestly, how many games did he miss? Like 15 games or something like that.
Sure.
He played 50 games still.
And LeBron missed like 40.
What is this fool doing on this list? Why is LeBron on this list, man? Get out of here, dude.
LeBron James, 45 games.
Get out of here. Come on. Are you kidding me? We were 7 seed. Even when LeBron was playing, we weren't like awesome.
No. I don't understand. I don't understand how these things happen.
Why though, Cliff? That's my question. Why do people want, you know, why do they not like Devin Booker or Donovan Mitchell? Why don't they like these guys? Like, why do people want them not to be good? Even though the evidence is like staring you in the freaking face. Donovan Mitchell's averaging better than a point a minute. Nobody does that, okay? Go look. You're thinking in your head, no, they're not even close. Okay, like go look at their points versus their minutes. That's ridiculous, okay?
Let me give you my first hypothesis. Hypothesis one. You tell me if it's right or wrong. They don't want the young guys to take over yet. They are too attached to the old guard. Similar, in not so dissimilar from tennis, where everyone loves Roger, Rafa, and Djokovic. Mm. Although those guys really do excel because they're always right. at the end.
They're winning every freaking Grand Slam.
But no one is rooting for Tsitsipas.
True. Or Dimitrov or whoever.
Right. So people don't want to let go of the old guard and don't want to crown the young guard.
Okay. I mean, I accept that to some degree. I don't think it completely explains, though.
Yeah, because they love Luka.
True. And Zion. And LaMelo. So, what else you got?
Although, do they love them because they know they're not going to tarnish the old guard? Like, Luka's hasn't come close, right? Like, he's playing, he's fun, he's, like, shooting around. Zion hasn't made the playoffs. LaMelo, like, what is he doing?
Yeah.
Whereas Donovan is, he's touching the throne. So is Devin Booker. So is Trey.
Right. Dude, yeah, Trey Young, no love.
Even
no
Embiid.
No love for Trey Young.
Touching the throne.
Interesting. What else you got, though? I want to hear the other one first.
Another hypothesis. Conspiracy theory.
Yes, I love it.
Conspiracy theory. It's because it damages LeBron's reputation.
I was already kind of thinking this, but how so? That's probably where I was going to go if it came to me to give a hypo. But I didn't want to be too on brand because, you know, that's super on brand for me. What's your why? Why are you saying that?
Well, the guys that he hates, Kyrie.
Sure.
They never show any of his highlight packages.
Right. Right.
You know, everyone he young kings.
Yeah, like Ben Simmons and Lonzo
Ben
Ball.
Ben Simmons. Yeah, they just had a
Luka.
Like one of the games, I think it was the game 3 where they won.
Right.
And like they were like, the reason they won is because Doc Rivers was like, oh, I Ben Simmons, you got to be aggressive, do whatever you want. He still had worse numbers than Joel Embiid, way worse. But he got young kinged.
Yeah, Ben Simmons sucks. Like, you know, he doesn't suck. I mean, obviously he's a solid player, but he doesn't have,
he's not the one, he's not the it.
He's not close. Let me just say this. He's not in Donovan Mitchell or Devin Booker's league.
No.
Not even close. Yeah.
Okay. And last hypothesis, smaller. They're only looking at it in terms of street ball.
Hmm. What do you mean?
They're like, oh, dude, like this guy, he's huge. Like Giannis, huge. Like, dude, I'd rather take this guy over someone like Devin Booker.
Oh, it's like size and
yeah.
I mean, I just it's hard for me. I just don't get it. Like when I like, how could you look at Donovan Mitchell in the bubble last season? How could you look at Jamal Murray and Donovan Mitchell, what they did in the bubble last season, and not think, oh my God, like these guys are just they're it.
You can't like ignore it.
I see it. Yeah. Like whatever it is, that indescribable quality, I saw it way more in Donovan Mitchell in last year's playoffs than I've ever seen it in Giannis. And I'm sure we'll get to that.
Yep.
But Giannis has never shown it. Has he put up massive stats? Yes, he's put up massive stats. I've seen way more from Donovan Mitchell to this point than I've seen from Luka.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Again, Luka puts up massive numbers. But he doesn't perform like when it matters. Like, not that he doesn't perform, that's probably not the right way to put it, but like, he hasn't shown the ability to find a way to pull out the victory.
He hasn't pieced it all together. He's not unlocked. For as great as he is, he's not unlocked.
He's an amazing basketball player. He has more cumulative skills and ability than these other guys. But I feel like that's it. People are just – so it's half LeBron conspiracy where it's like people love the LeBron-type player. Remember we talked about this, but I agree with your Young King thing. It's like LeBron likes his type of guy, right? He likes the Luka. He likes Ben Simmons. He likes Lonzo Ball. He likes triple-double guys. Russell Westbrook, like that type of player. James Harden when he's doing those kind of things. But those guys all have a similar choke factor. They all have a similar like flawed game, right? Because at the end of the day, whether or not people understand – like I don't know if people really understand this. But in basketball, scoring is the most important thing. It's the most important ability, right? Now, before you say, oh, so you're saying like Jordan Clarkson is like better than, you know, Chris Paul? No, I'm not saying that, okay? Obviously, everything else matters too, but the most most valuable ability at the end of the day is scoring. You see it in like KD. Why is KD amazing? Because at the end of the day, when you're at the end of the shot clock, he doesn't have to pass it to another guy. He could just shoot it and make it. Like that's what makes a player, Michael Jordan, you know, at the end of the day, when everything breaks down and defense is keying in and everybody's covered, you need a guy who can just get a bucket, right? That is the most valuable ability, right? But I feel like in today's NBA, people have somehow forgotten that. It's because of LeBron, because LeBron has shaped the narrative so much that people want it to be like, no, that's like the wrong way to play basketball. That's the bad way, the evil way, just scoring, you know? So guys who are scorers first, like Devin Booker, like Donovan Mitchell, who are just monstrous scorers, their ability is amazing. But not that they don't rebound, not that they don't assist, right? They do those things too. They make their teammates better. But they just don't like that. They want to anoint one of these guys. They want Giannis to be the next best player. They want Luka to be the next best player. They want Ben Simmons to be the next best player. They want LaMelo Ball to be the next best player, you know? And look, sorry, but the evidence just shows that's not the case. It's just not the case. That's why they keep elevating Chris Paul. They're like, oh, but look, he makes his teammates better. It's like, well, did he make his teammates better when he wasn't playing? When his shoulder was hurt? And like he was doing nothing? And Devin Booker was carrying the team, dropping 47 on LeBron, the other guy who supposedly makes his teammates better? I mean, how much evidence do you need? Remember Minority Report where I was about to call him Ethan Hunt. Tom Cruise. He's in the thing where he's supposed to kill the guy, right? Because and then the apartment building, and then the guy falls out, and then Colin Farrell comes, and he's like, "This is an orgy of evidence," right? And he's like, "In all of my time, I've never found, because it's all perfectly set up, right?" But I feel like this is the case where it's like, the evidence is real. Like, there's a ton of evidence showing you, wow, Donovan Mitchell really is the best player on this team, the most important player on the Jazz, probably the best guard left in the West. And yet they say Chris Paul. And yet they say, you know, they just, oh, he probably doesn't deserve an All-NBA. Like, I guess the Sama is really in deep in people's minds. Like, he has so infiltrated people's thinking that they don't even realize it's happening. They're just puppets.
Yeah. I mean, that's why. That's why. Like, you know what's crazy is I didn't think I'd have to fight this battle once Kobe retired. The Kobe type player.
The Kobe haters. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, I didn't think I'd have
Henry
to fight
Abbott. Like, Henry Abbott's gone. Where is he? He's gone. He's nowhere to be seen.
Yeah. Nick Wright. Like, I didn't think I'd have to fight these guys once Kobe retired. But it's still happening.
It's still happening.
It's still going on. It's because people are in love with do-it-all stat guys.
I I'm really sorry, guys. But because I know you really want to push back on the points versus assists thing. But John Stockton, Steve Nash, Chris Paul, you know, like how many Jason Kidd, how many guys have there been who are like prolific assist people? You know what I mean? Like assist masters. But at the end of the day, you need the guy who can get the bucket.
There's only two guys in the top 20 ever, all time.
Magic.
And it's Magic and LeBron. Those are the only two. Both of them are physical freaks of nature.
Yes. And LeBron scores. That's the thing.
And LeBron scores. He drops 30.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, and at the end of the day, when he finally started taking all those last shots and making them, that's when he elevated. You know, that's when he elevated. That's when his legacy finally came together. Earlier in his career, when he always was making the pass, and everybody's like, well, that's the right basketball play. And, you know, you always cite that All-Star game where everyone yelled
at him. The All-Star game.
Yeah, it's like until he finally got over that, he couldn't win. He couldn't win a title. And he finally did. You know, credit to D-Wade, credit to Eric Spoelstra, you know, credit to, well, Pat Riley and Eric. You know, the whole organization, everybody, like, you know, kind of like putting him on the path and getting him there.
They bowed.
They said, you're really good with these snakes. Just use the snakes.
Why don't you use the snakes?
Like, your snake juice is so good.
Stop doing genjutsu. I don't understand. That's your worst one.
You're not good at it. Stop it. Oh, gosh.
And then they and then they used his the greatest tactic. They're like, oh, dude, they're like sliding you. They're just like.
Oh, gosh.
It's just like calling you names.
But it's crazy because even though LeBron did that and he finally – do you know what I mean? Like he – like LeBron's not a choker anymore. Do you know what I'm saying? Like he's clutch now. He's shown it.
He is clutch, you know, now.
But it's like just to still protect that once in a while thing he does where he just defers a little too much. Do you know what I'm saying? Because he barely does it now, but still sometimes – right, he just has this feeling where it's like, oh, I don't know, you know, whichever game of the finals that was, like game five, it was game five, right, at the end,
the Marcus Morris,
that was the one, yeah, where, and it was like, it's weird, just shoot that one, you know, it's like that, but just to protect that little tiny piece, right, that one possible flaw of LeBron, they're going to elevate this entire crop of people that clearly are not as good as this other group of guys.
It's the next generation of Kobe versus LeBron. Mm. Wade versus LeBron. Mm. It's the next generation of it.
So, well, I don't know. Hopefully Luka just doesn't pair up with Donovan Mitchell and then... They just create another super team.
That's another LeBron legacy.
That's true.
Another child that he has birthed. Okay, that was a lot.
It was a lot, but I feel better. I feel like I needed this. I've been watching the playoffs and like just the comments and just, you know, seeing Twitter and just like feeling this angst. And I'm glad I released it. That's why we do this.
It's true. It's not for you. It's for us. All right. Let's talk about the Sixers and the Hawks. 2-2. And the Hawks tied up the series behind Trey's 25-18 and behind Embiid's 0-for-12 second half, including missing the game-tying layup. Joe, definitely maybe Embiid's knees will hold up longer than Trey's effectiveness.
I mean, they're both... They're both...
It's on the brink. Both of them.
They're both, like, going up in flames pretty rapidly. Yeah, you know, that rope.
It's like fraying.
It's fraying. Yeah, those little pieces are coming apart. Embiid's knees will hold up longer than Trey's effectiveness. Man, I'm going to say a very tentative definitely. I don't know. I mean, you know what? No, I have to go maybe on this. I have to go maybe because they're both really, truly
on the brink.
On the brink. Because Trey is turning into the old Trey, kind of.
He is.
And they're figuring him out, though, too. Yeah, they are limiting. They're really limiting what he can do. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the Hawks overall, like, they were really riding high and then losing two games in a row. All of a sudden, they're kind of coming back down to earth. And they're like, wait a minute. Are we just not this good? Like, are we not as good as we thought we were? Like, do you know what I mean? When you're young and you're just kind of, you don't know what to think because you're just playing crazy. Yeah. And, you know, they beat the Knicks and they weren't favored. They weren't technically favored in that series, although many people picked them, including you. And this series, obviously, heavy underdogs, they're supposed to be, but they stole game one. And I feel like they were just like, yeah, we could do it. And then all of a sudden, reality slowly started setting in. It was like, wow, Embiid's really good. And he was dominating.
Yeah.
And now, though, you know, so they're kind of losing confidence. But at the same time, Embiid's knees, look, they haven't held up really ever.
Ever.
So.
And he already has a tear.
He already has a tear. I mean, after game three, I thought he's figured out a way to play with it.
That's what I hoped.
But game four. Yeah, but game four, I mean, it was 4-for-20, right? Like,
he was 0-for-12 in this. He didn't make a bucket. 0-for-12 in the second half.
So it doesn't bode well, but I have hope for both. I have like a slight hope that Spider-Man is going to swing in at the last minute and grab that rope before all those people die. You know, all the fans. I guess the fans are the ones riding in the in the elevator cars or whatever it is that the villain has up there. Green Goblin's got up there. You know, you have to choose, right? Isn't that from the first one? The Sam Raimi one? Dude, Willem Dafoe. That guy's shout out to Willem Dafoe.
He's
that guy's
so
awesome.
Good.
But, yeah, I hope he comes back for Spider-Verse.
I'm going to go definitely. Definitely, okay. Embiid's knees will hold up. Here's my thing, though. Like, let me try to explain it. I love that the Hawks are fearless, and that's like an amazing asset if you're an underdog. Mm. And Sixers, as good as they are, they're going to live and die with Embiid. So both, again, it's fraying. It's fraying as we speak. But to me, the Sixers are like a Thor movie where Thor has his one eye gouged out. He's got no Mjolnir anymore. But, you know, he's still awesome. But, man, sure, their chances get slimmed. Even to villains, they should be obliterating, you know? Like, it gets really slim. And the Hawks, they're like Loki. Like, they just refuse to believe they're inferior. They do all this razzmatazz, and they change shapes. They turn into Captain America. But at some point, you still expect Loki to lose to Thor, even if he's got one eye, even if he's got no Mjolnir.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, though. Okay, here's the one. This is why I have to stay maybe, because the one X factor is Doc Rivers.
Mm.
And Doc Rivers,
the master, the master of the 3-1 loss.
He is not great. He is not great. There's only one coach to remind you guys who has ever lost a 3-1 lead twice. And there's only one coach who's ever lost a 3-1 lead three times. And that's the same guy. And it's Doc Rivers. Okay. So no other coach has ever lost a 3-1 lead even twice, but he's done it three times. So that's not good.
I can't believe it. Three different teams.
That's not great. And so
he's had the best player every time, I think.
He had T-Mac.
He had Kawhi, and he had Chris Paul.
Yes. And so, yeah, that's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad.
I mean, to be fair, the Clippers are cursed, so maybe that played a role. And T-Mac ran his mouth, and he probably shouldn't have done that against the Pistons.
He ran his mouth.
Probably shouldn't have done that.
Gave him that motivation.
You know, it's the odds are not in his. I mean, you know, Doc Rivers has a championship, so it's not like he's a bad coach. But you know, it just hasn't looked good recently. So that's another X. If it gets to pressure time, I'm a little worried about Doc. I'm worried he's gonna panic and not really know what to do.
Yeah, the championship though came when he had Tibbs in his side.
That's true. He did have Tibbs. I mean, it was a great pairing. I think it's
they
not
both
like covered
each other's.
Yes. Exactly.
You know how they say opposites attract?
Yes.
That was them.
It was a perfect marriage. Yeah. They complemented each other well.
Okay. Next one. Nets are up 3-2 in dazzling fashion behind Mr. You know who I am. The Slim Reaper himself, Mr. Kevin Durant. 49-17-10. 3-2, 70% from the field on a night with Kyrie out, Harden going 1-for-10 with 4 turnovers.
Wow,
Katie just Harden. Freaking tore the heart out of Giannis, trailing 16 at the half.
Kano
Katie
style.
Played every minute of the game, and they just left the Bucks broken with Katie's consistency, domination, and his always on takeover mode. Joe,
takeover mode from minute one.
It's Katie. The best player in the NBA, definitely, maybe.
Cliff, is this a real question?
This is a real question.
Are you seriously asking me that?
Because
you expect me to answer this?
Because someone was like, he doesn't have enough dog in him. And I was like, yeah, but he's the best player in the NBA. And he was like, Kobe had the dog in him. I was like, yeah, sure, but
guys,
all the dogs now are out of the playoffs. He's like, well, there's one more left. I was like, who? PJ Tucker. I was like, PJ Tucker? The 344th best player in the NBA?
guys, just, I know it's confusing, okay? Because we have a hard time being consistent with ourselves. Like I said, you go stats, then when you don't like a guy, you always want to try to pull something out of your butt to like criticize him or not. Guys, at the end of the day, don't get it twisted. It's about winning. Nobody cares if you have 1,000,000 points, you know, you have 1,000,000 assists, 1,000,000 rebounds, if you don't win the game. You gotta win the game. Okay.
No one cares if you have bad pressers, a burner account. None
Nobody
of that
cares.
Leads.
You're
to
a
best
dog. You're game. Not a dog. You play defense. You don't look at the end of the day. I don't care. If you find a way to win, that's what matters. And KD knows how to win. Okay. KD is the best at winning in the NBA, period.
Bar none. Not even close.
It's not close. This guy controls. When we talk about controlling the game, that's what we're talking about. That's exactly what he did today. Okay. He controlled the game. Was the situation in his favor? No. Okay. Obviously not. James Harden's been out. Kyrie was out. James Harden came back and he had a classic crappy James Harden game in a spot where they really needed it. I'm not blaming him because he's coming off an injury, obviously. But he did not play well. He had one bucket. Okay. He had exactly one bucket. He had 4 turnovers. And what the heck was he even doing in that play when KD had to bail him out? They're up one. If you didn't see the game, you just missed, like, I think the greatest playoff performance I've ever seen in my life, probably.
It was crazy.
Because they were underdogs, okay? Like, clearly, they should not have been favored to win this game unless you truly believe in Kevin Durant, which I did. But there's under a minute. They have a one-point lead, and James Harden dribbles the ball for 18 seconds. Who was on him? Drew Holiday? It just, like, guarding up on him.
And
like,
he panicked.
30 feet,
panic
30 feet away from the basket. I forget if Middleton or Drew Holiday was on him, but like, a good defender's on him, and he's just not even making a move. He's just, like, dribbling the ball until there's 5 seconds left on the shot clock. KD comes from the top, has to get the ball with, like, 3 seconds left, escape dribble, rise up from 27 feet, and just drills the coldest three.
It was, oh my gosh, that shot was insane.
I haven't reacted like that in
since probably, Dame. Since Dame,
probably since Dame. Actually, yeah, I did the same thing when Dame hit that three. That
step back three. Those impossible shots. Yeah. These are impossible. Just
like,
shots.
Oh my goodness! Like, what the heck? Because, you know, it's one of those things where you're like, you know it's going to go in, but you also, like, can't believe it's going to go in.
Yes, yes. But you know, that's was exactly how I felt about Dame's game.
Sure. The 55. But this was, I mean, this was to get the win. It was for the win, and he did it.
This was just ridiculous. Possession right before James Harden turned it over because he jumped and tried to call timeout in the air.
Oh, my gosh. What was that? Yeah, I totally forgot that that's what happened previous play.
That's what James Harden did. He jumped and tried to call timeout.
He was like, he's like 32 feet away, guys. What was he even jumping? No, you know, he was trying to get a foul call, but it's like, you don't do that from like 32 feet. You know what I mean? You got to at least be, you know, within spitting distance of the 3-point line to try to pull that move.
He had three more turnovers than he had made shots.
Yeah, he had one shot. Absolutely terrible. This is the guy that Max Kellerman said was the most important player on the Nets. No, I'm sorry. Like, that's just, this is like idiot. Like, some of the things people have been saying, it's like, seriously, it's like idiotic. I just, you know, I'm not saying he's dumb, I mean, or something, but it's just, what's going on?
I mean, look, this is a night where Giannis had 34-12-4. Middleton, 25-4-5. Drew Holiday, 19-3-8. Brooke Lopez, he played well, 15, 6 rebounds. Okay? That's four starters in double figures. Let me tell you, what Joe Harris, Bruce Brown, James Harden did collectively, they made four shots out of 26.
Wow.
Four shots out of 26, four combined. 12 points.
Oh my gosh, guys. I mean, Jeff Green played well, right? Uncle Jeff.
Uncle Jeff up. Off the bench, 27 points, 8 for 11, 7 threes made.
Yeah, he was huge. And, you know, credit to him. But, I mean, when your best player – and here's the thing. It's harder to win when Jeff Green goes for 27 than when Harden goes for 27.
Sure.
Because – I mean, if you're the Nets. Because – it's like, it's a great boost, but the psychological damage that happens when your second best player is playing so bad, like playing so poorly, is more than the boost you get from a bench guy having a good game. Mm-hmm. So when Joe Harris and Bruce Brown and James Harden, all those guys, you know, when they combine for that crap game, I mean, Kate, you have to step up another level. And I mean, look, KD did it. He's a beast. He's the best. If you can't tell from this game, I don't know what the heck is going to come. You're just a hater. Like, you're just a hater. And like, all in my book, if you watch this game and you're trying to hate on KD, you completely lose your credibility. Like, you cannot have credibility at this point because it's beyond the pale. It's too far.
I will tell you, the only people I feel will say he's not the best player in the NBA. You know the group. You know them very well. They're called the LeBronies.
LeBron would have hit that shot too.
He could do it with three rims, okay? Oh, man. But, I mean, this is an obvious question, right? KD's the best player in the NBA, but on the other side of it, the other guy who was trying to compete for best player in the NBA, who I don't even know if he's top five anymore, Giannis Antetokounmpo. He is hemorrhaging his ranking here because his green candle is just burning up in flames. And that freaking shield, that golden shield on the Green Ranger is like, oh, it's leaving my body. and it left his body at the worst time with 15 seconds left, and Chris Middleton shovel passed right into his breadbasket. Giannis fumbles when he could have easily just grabbed it and dunked the ball to tie the game. He fumbles it and turns it over and gives it to KD.
Yep.
Oh, it hurts. It hurts.
I got news for you, Cliff. That green candle is gone. It has completely disappeared. Oh, he's he's just Tommy now. He's just a ponytail Tommy now. That's it.
I see. Yeah. He's coming out as Tommy next game?
Yes. He teaches karate on the weekends, and he attends whatever that high school was called. I forget.
Yeah, it's crazy because, like, you know that feeling when we saw Mike Tyson at 50 years old punching those bags? Like, you felt like that. Ooh. You got scared.
Yeah, fear. That's called fear, Cliff.
That's how I feel every time I watch KD. I'm like, oh my God. Mm. Like, this is greatness happening. This guy is just a destroyer, eater of worlds. Like, I'm like, oh my God, this guy is here to take souls. Like, that's what he's out here to do. When I watch Giannis come back on offense, try to score, I get so sad. I'm like, oh no, Giannis, don't, no. No, don't do this. You're like a baby bird, like a wounded baby bird.
it's like the Ryatsu was just too strong. You know, that's what it was.
Just crushes him.
That's what happened to Giannis. What happened? Why did he fumble the ball? It was just the pressure. It was just the spiritual pressure from the other player was too powerful, right? The power levels were off the chart. His little monitor was going off the charts, you know?
9,000! 9,000!
Yeah, because after he hit that three and Giannis just panicked, he was like, what do? I can't beat this guy. And he just fumbled the ball. It's crazy, though, because whenever you see great players go against each other, right? One player, the greater player, finds a way to win. Mm-hmm. And the less great player finds a way to lose. Mm. It's unfortunate, but that's part of it. That is that inexplicable, you know, kind of unquantifiable quality, right? Like, you know, because people want to just say, well, Jordan was just lucky. Mm-hmm. You know, somehow he just luckily got that steal. He just luckily went down and hit that shot. You know what I mean? He luckily found Kerr. He luckily found, you know, Paxson, like those. You know, but no, somehow the winning players always find a way to win. And somehow, you know, Amari finds a way to leave the bench and get suspended. You know, somehow, like, Patrick Ewing flubs the layup. It's, like, right there, but then he can't make it. He blows it. You know, somehow, Giannis fumbles the pass, gets an offensive foul at the worst, you know, time. Somehow, KD always makes that deep three. I've seen it three times now in pressure moments. He always finds a way to make it.
That pantheon of best player or second best player on an NBA championship team is exclusive.
Right.
It's exclusive. And there's a reason that some people haven't sniffed it. Mm. I will say the only time that I really feel that argument isn't true was when I saw Donovan and Jamal Murray go at it. Mm. I was like, both these guys are just toe-to-toe going at it, and Mike Conley just wasted it. Like, if Donovan Mitchell just shot that last shot.
See, but that's what I was going to say. I'm saying, but see, there was a player involved in that.
Yeah.
Who found a way to lose. It wasn't Donovan because he didn't have the ball that last play.
Yeah.
It was Mike Conley.
And then you saw how distraught he was. I was like, I know, man. I wish you shot it too. I wish it's like, you shot it too.
That just can't happen there. How did that happen? You gotta give it to him. You gotta find a way to get it to him. That's bad.
It's bad. All right, last one. Let's talk about the Jazz versus the Clips. Like we talked about, Donovan Spida Mitchell is averaging 37.3 points per game in 37 minutes in this series. 37?
That's ridiculous.
Points per game. We talked about KD. KD's averaging 33.6. Giannis, 38, 30.6. Embiid, 30.8. Those are the four guys averaging 30, and one guy is averaging 37 points per game.
That is crazy.
It's insane. That is crazy. I don't know. But in the, on the other side, Kawhi and PG have both been averaging 27, 8, and 4. Joe, you famously picked the Clippers to win the series. Are you sticking with it? Definitely, maybe. The Clippers will win the series.
Definitely. Yeah. It's tough because the truth is, Donovan Mitchell, whether Mike Conley plays or not, I still think Kawhi is a better player than Donovan Mitchell overall. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, for many, you know, defense experience, mm-hmm. he kind of knows what it takes, and he has proven, you know, last year notwithstanding, that he knows how to carry a team and how to win. Mm-hmm. Donovan Mitchell's still learning. I think he's up and coming. I think he's amazing, and I think he's definitely on the path to being that. But because I have Kawhi slightly over Donovan, and then the truth is, there's no second. Mm-hmm. Who's the second guy? Whether Mike Conley plays or not, I don't care because he's not really on the level of Paul George, even if he plays. And that's even with playoff P. You know, even with Paul George being kind of like weird and like sucking some games. I mean, for one thing, it seems like he has found his footing. Mm-hmm. He's playing much better this year in the playoffs than he did last year in the playoffs overall.
Even though he's shooting 42%.
Yeah, even though he's not shooting great because, look, he had a terrible first couple games of this series, right? He played better at home. Mm-hmm. But I think Paul George has, you know, he's reached a level of, like, he's never going to be super clutch because you can just tell that's not his personality. But he's found a way to manage it, mm-hmm. right? Like, just manage the nerves. And I do feel like, you know, we talk about this, but like I can't tell what's going on. like if you were to not see the score and just watch the Clippers, mm-hmm. you can't tell what's going on because they have no emotional reaction, like almost ever.
The Kawhi dunk. It might be the dunk of the playoffs.
That's like one of the best dunks. This is one of the best playoff dunks I've ever seen. He bodied him.
And he smashed it.
Almost the Miles Bridges dunk.
But like, not really. not as cocked back.
Yeah, it wasn't as much air. It wasn't as.
But
much,
it's a similar dunk.
Similar though, and it was pretty dang powerful. Like he threw it in.
Oh yeah.
They barely reacted. I mean, Kawhi kind of reacted. I didn't really see anybody react. I guess it fits because also the home court crowd of the Clippers sucks. It's like a high school basketball game. Actually, no. Because I've seen some Ball Don't Lie videos of high school basketball games where, like, the crowd's crazy. This crowd is trash, dude. What's wrong with Clippers fans? If you're out there, go freaking cheer, man. Like.
Do you think they've taken on the persona of Kawhi? Maybe Kawhi's influence is so great.
I love it when crowds do good cheers. You know, smart cheers.
Yeah.
And I would love it, like, if when Kawhi's at the line or something, they're like, "We are winning," or something.
Or beep, beep, bop, bop, boop.
Yeah, either that or beeps or, like, binary, like 011101.
Computing. Scanning.
But I don't know. I don't know if that's it. I think they're just not great basketball fans. Prove me wrong, Clippers fans. You know, dude, like, get the crowd crazy. Like, I haven't – it's – you know what literally one of the announcers said? I think it was during game 4.
Yeah.
Said, I mean, they were going crazy. The Clippers were winning. Mm-hmm. You know, they're playing really well. Mm-hmm. And he said – Clippers fans trying to make some noise. That's literally what he said.
Try.
He literally said that. It's like, try to make a little noise. I was like, that's sad. Because, you know, like, when it's the Jazz, like, when you're in Salt Lake City, what do they do? They're like, listen to the crowd. You know what I mean? I'm gonna let the crowd take it away. It's like, it's so loud. He has to literally say that because people can't tell if they're cheering or not.
I mean, Hueco Mundo is a desolate place, okay? It's where all the lost souls are.
You're right.
All the lost souls that are trying to... they're, right. they're what fuels the Hollows is the anxiety of the Clipper fans knowing impending doom is coming.
It's that lack of confidence that gives the Hollow power.
Exactly. Exactly. And then the Hollows get all powerful.
Hey, so Clipper fans, if you ever want to beat this curse, just, you know, you can't let that anxiety come in.
You can't let
it be like, oh no, we're gonna, it's happening again. You can't have those thoughts.
Yeah, you can't be like, of course, here we go. Yeah.
Every time that happens, it's like, you could see Kawhi's power level dropping. He's like, oh no, it's happening again.
You gotta, like on the opposite side of town, you got the Laker fans who are just crazy delusional. Who are saying, like, we should trade Kuzma and KCP for Jaylen Brown. Like, they'll do that. It's like, you got to have that level of confidence to think that's a good deal. Yeah. You know? You got to have that level of confidence and irrational confidence. That's how you cheer.
Yeah. When Kobe comes back from an Achilles, and we're like, dude, we have, like, who we got? We got, like, booze. We got booze and Jeremy Lin. And
it's
like
bad.
Ed Davis?
That's the first name you say.
We're gonna win a championship, dude.
They're like definitely making the playoffs though. Like for sure.
Like how could we not? How could we not?
Got Linsanity?
Oh man. Oh gosh.
You gotta have that level of confidence.
the irrational confidence of Laker fans. But, you know, that's what you need, Clipper. You need a little bit of – I know that's why you hate us, right? It's like that's why you hate the Laker fans. But you need a little more of that in your building.
But versus the complete and utter despair of Clipper fandom.
Oh, gosh. I mean, we're up 20, but who knows how long that'll last. It's like Paul George is 7 for 7, and then he misses one. You're like, oh, gosh, here we go.
Pandemic P. Like, they're using the bad nicknames for their own.
It's so funny because so I have this one friend who's a Clipper fan, you know, famously. And in our chat, it's like, even during the Mavs series, you know how I predicted that Paul George would play well?
Yeah.
And he's playing well, like, first couple games. Yeah. But then, like, he misses a shot, and then he said, it's playoff Rondo versus playoff P, you know, like basically which is going to win out. And I was like, dude, Paul George playing good. Like, he's like, I know. I just like, those are just my comments. You know, it's like, it's just like already locked and loaded. You know what I mean? It's like already.
Just like LeBron. When just he was like LeBron. It's like, I can't see. He's like, no, you made it. Ah, dang. I should have just down hands.
That's why
the
chest.
Exactly. That's what the evidence is telling me, but it was too late. It was too late. I had it loaded.
You know why, right? It's because the Clippers rubbed off on him a little bit. I mean, they all play at Staples, you know? Like, in the bubble, he was immune from it. It didn't affect him, but... Because, you know, they're staying at different hotels, right? Like, we...
Yeah.
But the Grandestino, I think.
The Grandestino.
Wow. If I remember correctly, I believe
we're pulling it all back.
But, yeah, man, I mean, I think it's the year, though. Look, I think Kawhi and PG... I think Kawhi's the best player in the series. I think Kawhi and PG and Donovan Mitchell just... Whether or not Conley plays, I don't think it's going to be enough. I mean, I picked it to go 7, so I you know, it'll probably still be a deep, you know, probably be a long series. But I think Kawhi's going to find a way to pull it out. I'm not at all confident in that, though. But I'm still going to go definitely. What do you think?
I am going to go maybe. Mm-hmm. I picked the Jazz to win.
I know, dude. Stick with your pick.
But honestly... Here's the thing.
Are you losing faith in the Clipper curse?
I'm losing.
That's the real question.
I'm losing faith that Donovan has an answer for zone defense. Basic zone defense. They have had no answers, honestly, and it's sickening me. It's just sickening. Like, and the way you beat the zone defense is, one, it's either penetration, but then they're doubling Donovan at the top with the zone. Yeah. Or inside presence. Like, you throw it to someone inside in the post, but they have Gobert.
Yeah, they have nothing.
They have nothing, right? And so the shot that they get is usually Donovan drives one step inside the three-point line, and he passes it to the wing for a three-point shot.
Right.
You know, and that's good. A lot of Royce O'Neal, you know? And that's not good offense, you know? Yeah.
I mean, you got to touch the paint.
Exactly. And that's the only reason I say maybe. Clipper curse is still strong, but is it stronger than their inability to break the zone because they have nobody on the inside? I don't know. They're battling just like Trae Young and Joel Embiid's knee. They're also fighting.
Yeah, it is. I mean, yeah, it is tough. The problem is they're closing up top too, so Donovan is not having a chance to kind of, like, because he's been splitting defenders, he's not really having a chance to do that now.
When they play man-to-man, when they go back to man-to-man, I don't know why they keep going back to man, I guess just to switch it up, he torches them. He always destroys them. Yeah. But then
like
when they go to zone.
Impossible in pick and roll, yeah.
But when they go to zone, like that's their magic sauce. And it's not like Ty Lue's doing anything amazing. It's basically doing what any person does on NBA 2K. You just press the defense button and just press 2-3. That's all he's doing. But it's working. And so
they need – I don't know. I mean, I still think they will – because the role players haven't played well on the road.
Right.
And that's typical.
Yeah.
You know, Bojan – like Bogey and Ingles probably
Ingles.
Play better at home.
And Royce.
Yeah, and Royce O'Neal, and when Conley comes back. I mean, I think they could try to play Derek Favors a little bit more and post him up. He actually has a post game, so
he was
that
so
could
bad,
possibly
though.
Help them. He has been
he
bad,
was
though.
So bad.
A
lot of mistakes from that guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think probably game five, Utah shoots better at home, and so they'll just be hitting a lot more threes. The only thing is, the Clippers were the number one three-point shooting team in the league.
Yeah.
During the regular season, so that's
they're shooting it really well.
They're shooting it well now. Yeah, they're stroking it pretty well, and so I think they have kind of found their footing. But yeah, that's a good point about the zone. What about the curse, though?
The curse. I mean, but see, here's the thing, right? Kawhi freaking smashed. He's angry. He's like, "Candyman, get out of here!"
He dunked through him.
Yeah.
That's why he dunked it so hard, because it wasn't just the defender he was getting through.
Exactly.
It was the hollow he had to get through.
Exactly. He's over. Like, that's the thing, right? Mm-hmm. You said he doesn't get a bye this year. First year, the hollows, he was like, what the hell?
Yeah. He had never seen that before. Yeah. He was like, whoa, what? Whoa, 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 whoa. What is this?
You know, like in Bleach, when they like put the pass on you and then your soul comes out? That's like when you put the Clipper jersey on and they're like, all the spirits show up. You're like, wait a second. What's going on here?
You saw those Menos Grandes? He saw Keith Kloss and Candyman, and he was like, whoa, what are those? What are those things?
Then he saw a really buff one. He's like, is that Corey Maggette?
It's like, dang.
He's ripped.
Dude is ripped.
And they just block shots, dude. And then he was off his game in that game seven. And he came back, and he was like, okay, now I know how to prepare for these guys. You know? Mm-hmm. Now I got Bankai. Now I have it.
He trained. He spent some time.
Yeah. And honestly, he's done it. People wrote him off in that Dallas series. We knew he'd come back, but people wrote him off. Mm-hmm. And now in this Jazz series, I'm like starting to believe. I'm starting to believe.
You're becoming a believer. I mean, I would totally love – I feel happy either way. I'd love a Donovan Mitchell versus Devin Booker.
Of course. The young guns. Young,
that would
the
be
young
great.
Blazers.
Yeah, where everybody's praising Rudy Gobert and CP3. where they're the ones on the poster. Rudy, the defense of Rudy Gobert versus the veteran leadership.
They're in position one. And then,
and the little tiny guys in the back, Devin Booker and Donovan Mitchell.
Dribbling.
And then
passing.
There's these guys who are like averaging 30 and, you know, whatever. Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see that. It would probably make the pod interesting. But I just feel it in my bones that it's a Kawhi KD final.
For best player in the NBA?
Yes. You know, it's rare that we get these, though. Because we always wanted the Kobe LeBron, you know.
They made puppets!
Like, yeah, you know, it's like you always want those. It's hard. You just don't get them. Yeah. You just don't get those matchups. But I feel it. I feel like it's going to happen. But, you know, my feelings have been wrong before, so we'll see.
I believe in the Clipper curse. I believe in it. I believe in it. It's powerful. All right, that's it. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the People's Pod. Subscribe, like, comment, share, rate, give us 5 stars. We'll be back next week with more nonsense. This is SBR with Clip and Joe. Peace.